the whole concept was just outsourcing these big teams, doing mandatory tasks, and nothing outside of the box of that. But I think the whole world is changing with regards to outsourcing.
What you do next can really set up how this relationship is going to go from now on. I mean, you can throw your toys, you can get upset, you can jump up and down. It's not going to do anything.
The more we understand each other's businesses and the more we see where we can add value, the better for the community of the Lacquer Network.
Before we start this podcast, will you please like, follow, and subscribe to the Right Place podcast right here on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Rudolf and I would also love to connect with you on LinkedIn, so look us up there too. Thank you. Cheers. You're at the right place. Today I'm talking to Sean Smith. He's the founder of Outsource SA Solutions, Blossom Technology, and a few other fascinating ventures. He's also a founding member of the Lacquer Network, like myself, which is where we connected. Sean is the guy tech leaders call when the dev team is on fire, deadlines are collapsing, and they need world-class engineers yesterday. But Sean isn't just about outsourcing talent, he's about building community and truly lives the Lacquer Network mantra of how can I help you? Welcome, Sean. It's great to chat to you today.
Thanks, John. It's lovely to be on. And as I mentioned, it's my first podcast.
Awesome, Sean. No, you're definitely at the right place for your first podcast. So I'm glad we can make that happen for you. Sean, we are near the middle point of 2025, which appears to be a good spot to reflect on where we are and where we need to be. If a company has been struggling to find high caliber talent in 2025, what should they stop doing and what should they start doing?
I think they should stop looking at lower margins. People go try and get cheap resources. I think they should rather go for quality and look at their budgets. I think that's really critical in this day and age. Rather go for quality and pay a little bit more where you can get you'll get the real quality of your resource. Now, South Africa is quite a competitive market for tech resources globally, and there's a lot of big players fishing in the South African pond for this top talent. And there's a lot of good talent at affordable prices, but they shouldn't be going on the Indian model where they want to get resources on a cheap. Rather pay a little bit extra and get that quality. So that's what I would advise. Any organization.
No, that's a great point there. And I think it's in line with what I've heard Alex Hormozi say, he's massive online and all over LinkedIn as well. He says there's according to his calculations, if you employ a B talent or a C talent, you're absolutely wasting your time. He says an A talent is going to sometimes give you 6 to 8 times more productivity and ideas and comfort that the job is going to get done the first time. Whereas like a B or a C talent, they're going to need more coaching, they're going to need more hand-holding, and by the time you finish with all of that, the job is still not done. Would you agree with
exactly.
that?
Exactly. Absolutely. What the clients are finding out is that A talent can actually add value in other parts of their business. So generally, from my experience, those A talents actually stay longer on projects where they can add value elsewhere within the business. So you get that added advantage of that A talent. Where they're adding value at the end of the day and contributing to your growth and ideas. And outside of just their tech talent, they can bring the experience to the table to help with further projects or technology that is required by certain clients, etc. They form more of some of the real senior people form more of an advisory slot than just being a techie, if you know what I mean.
100%, Sean. Now, Sean, what would you say is your biggest challenge that you are helping companies with in 2025?
We are helping, we've got a big project running in the IFS space. So that's for Africa. We're doing the first cloud implementation or supporting clients on training and development yes. and upskilling local resources in South Africa. We actually got a yes. team running out of Sri Lanka for this. So that's a key okay. area of growth for us. And we're looking at expanding that offering out to market through to Africa and through to support in the UK and Australia. There's a lot of, we're doing a lot of work in the dev and across all stacks at the moment. And we're also supporting Microsoft CE on CRM projects for clients in the UK. So that's a key area of focus for us. Where we make most of our differences is where there's niche requirements. tough to source. And that's where we make a difference with clients, is we help them with those resources. And generally, we'll pick up other projects off the back of that. That's been our focus. And that's where we're focusing on at the moment. We do have other requirements outside of IFS and Microsoft, mainly in SAP, which is where we first started out. So we do help companies in SAP environments on projects as well as individual. We're also helping a lot of startups as well at the moment through the LACA network, where we've actually, so we help startups, we help big corporates with one or two resources or teams that we can put together. So that's sort of what we're focusing on at the moment. So we've got a sort of mixture across the board.
Excellent, Sean. And Sean, would you say that it's in the best interest of a tech company to have an outsourced component to help them accelerate scale?
Absolutely. Look, a lot of the, from my experience, a lot of the tech companies and consulting houses all have their own recruiters. But we are, you know, we add value to those recruiters sometimes. You know, we've got a very good experience. People in-house that come with London recruiting backgrounds. My business partner, Ben, he's a London recruiter by trade. So he actually helps the clients in this space. So we add a lot of value from our expertise, my consulting background, Ben's recruitment background. We've got a blend of that. So we've got a sort of a consultative approach to our business. And that's where we add a lot of value from our experience to our clients and tech companies, either partners or, you know, direct clients.
And then, Sean, a follow-up question on that is, I mean, you've seen it from the consulting space, the outsourcing space. One of the new terms being thrown around a lot is like fractional CIO space. How do you see that working in the tech world currently?
I think everybody's talking about fractional at the moment. It's a bit confusing, to be honest. I think it's just a common word, and they're putting a nice title to exactly what they're doing. It seems to just be an add-on in the front. But yeah, fractional, like I said, I'm finding it hard to come to terms with, but I suppose with this new day and age and this AI elements around it, there's got to be some fancy words. But for me, it's just proper consulting, really. And it's basically doing what they're doing, but maybe on a higher level, advisory element of it. But it's still, whether it's a CMO or an audit function, whatever, it's still, for me, it's a high-level management consulting term.
Cool. Thanks, Sean. I understand that term. I think the landscape, every couple of years, you see these new terms to describe someone helping your business, from like consulting, outsourced, insourced, all these type of terms. As long as they do the right job for the right price and get results, I guess it doesn't matter what you call them. And Sean, you mentioned AI briefly. What has been the impact of AI on your outsourcing model? Are you seeing it as a threat, or are you seeing it as something that's helping you come up with better solutions for your clients?
Absolutely. Turnaround time is definitely improved. I think you've got to be very careful on what tools you use in the AI space, especially around cybersecurity. Look, we are a Google house, so we use Gemini a lot in our business, and it's secure. And I use it on a daily basis, depending on whether I'm doing a compliance audit or advisory for a client. I'll utilize to make sure I get the right regulations and we are compliant to different countries, etc. So from an HR perspective, you know, we do contracts. So that helps us from an HR internal operational perspective. We use the, you know, Gemini a lot to make sure that we are getting the right laws, compliance phrases, etc. And yeah, we've also utilized it from a CV perspective. We're running through CVs through AI. But yeah, I think we just got to tread carefully around that, but it is adding value on a day-to-day basis, for sure. It's improving, you know, your time spent on other aspects of the business.
No, that's great, Sean. And have you found that the people, your clients, or the people that are approaching you to help them with outsourcing, are they requesting more help with AI? Are they asking for people with a little bit of AI background or expertise to add that expertise to their teams on the internal side?
We don't get a lot of it at the moment. Obviously, there's stuff on the engineering side. We've had a few requirements since last week or so. I suppose it will pick up now where there's got to be these engineers or developers have to have a certain AR limit because AR element of their experience. But there's not a lot of them around because obviously AR is new and AR is changing on a daily basis. And as we've seen in the Lacker Network AI group, there's a load of these tools out there that are just doing stuff for you. Some in a good way, some in a bad, a really worrying way, where you can replicate other people's websites, etc. So there is a lot of demand for it. I think there's always going to be a demand for engineers and tech developers in the space. They say AI is going to replace everybody, but I don't think so because it's moving so fast that you're going to have need tech guys to either pull it back or enhance it a little bit more or develop the current trends. I know there's a lot of governments looking at the way AI is going. So there's going to be a lot of regulations around it and how they're going to actually stop it in its tracks at some point and say, we need to breathe now and we need to see what this is actually doing and how it's impacting people's lives, people's personal data. Because, they have the impact on Poppy and GDPR is going to be massive, I think. And I think regulators, government bodies are starting to wake up now and go, oh my gosh, we need to really have a look at this and be aware of what's actually out there and what's happening and what tools are being developed. So that's my personal opinion. I can see it.
I like that.
Slowing down a little bit so people can really take stock.
Yes, and I think that it reminds me of what Sam Hanrink said on the podcast recently as well, is that when things are moving so fast, it's actually better to intentionally slow down and just take stock of what's actually happening, because it's easy to get caught up in the excitement of new tools and new solutions popping in and out all day long. But like, what are the basics and how can I use the most basic AI tools just to make my day run a bit smoother or my team be a bit more effective? Because you can get a lot of value out of that instead of just chasing all these nice new shiny objects the whole time where it's impossible to actually keep up to speed.
Absolutely. We've got to take a breather, take a step back and see what's best for your business and see what best for you as an individual on how you manage your day-to-day activities around this, because you get consumed in this whole AI space and it can be overwhelming and there's just too much out there. So I agree. You've got to take a step back and see what best works for you and your business.
Yes, 100%. Now, Sean, you told me about this misconception about outsourcing, that it brings in lower quality or lack of expertise people to a team. Break this down a bit for me, and then what do you do at Outsource SA to counter this?
Yeah, so people have a misconception about outsourcing. Outsourcing can either be an individual or a team, as I mentioned before. But the outsourcing element is people have got this thing of pushing teams out and people working to a clock. And I've seen it myself. I've done it to India. I've done it to Mumbai and Pune, where it's a clock watching scenario and they get given tasks and that's it. That's what they do on a daily basis. Where we add more value is, We have a look at your whole infrastructure, your projects, et cetera, and how we can add value from an outsourcing perspective. So it's just not one task. It's how we can add value as a business to multiple tasks within your business. And how can we multitask one of our resources to do different functions within your business? So I think there's that misconception of outsourcing is just teams and hundreds of bums on seats, and that's not what we want to focus on as a business. It's how we individually have our resources working in your business and how they can add value across the board. And we recruit people in with the skills that can add value in different aspects of your business. So that's a different sort of perspective that we're putting on outsourcing. And we want to add value with the right resources, with the right long as we understand the requirements. We have people internally that are working for us that can add value across operational parts of people's businesses. And we can either recruit in as long as we get the right requirements for your specific roles. So that's the whole conception. Everybody said outsourcing And that's what the whole concept was, just outsourcing these big teams, doing mandatory tasks and nothing outside of the box of that. But I think the whole world is changing with regards to outsourcing. We certainly changing our way and our approach just to add that more value and to bring that quality to the table. And it's about longevity and having your long-term relationship with your customer and adding value across the board. And that's the outsourcing element that we can bring to the table. And I've spoken about it before with my expertise, my Accenture background, working in the City of London, outsourcing to India, Pune, working in Accenture, working with teams in the Philippines and Mauritius and all that type of thing. And having that outsourcing background adds a lot of value to what we bring to the table. And then with Ben's expertise and getting the right talent is how we add value as a business, not just an outsourcing body that, look, we're part of BePesa, which is the outsourcing body of South Africa. I sit on the London Council, sit on the advisory board. You know, we add value at that level where we can have those type of conversations, where we can add value to a client rather than just be another outsourcing, company that just wants 50, 100 seats and looking after. We add value from a top level down. And not always about 50, 100 seats. It's about the 1 to 10s to 20s where we can really add value at the end of the day. So I hope that answers your question, John.
No, that's very good, Sean. That's very good. And Sean, you also work with nearshore and offshore teams. Can you just maybe just break down the difference there and what are the benefits of each that you've found?
Yeah, so that's really important. And from my experience and my consulting background, I think it's so important that you have specifically on a high level, management level and a project management level that you have the nearshore. There are our clients that require resources across Europe, because I'm based up in London and in Ireland, where we supply a local resource to specific projects because they like to have people on the ground in the teams and at a senior level, either at a tech senior level or a project manager senior level. And then you have your back four of your outsourcing resources being managed out of a location like South Africa, Durban, Joburg, wherever, Cape Town. So I think that model works really well. But there's all elements of clients that they want people on board in office. Also from a language and cultural perspective, I think it's really important that you have someone in-house on the ground at the client that can actually communicate the team's concerns, efforts, or, between both the client and the consultants working offshore. So I think that's really important, and it's a really a successful model, in my opinion, from my experience.
No, that's good, Sean. And then, Sean, when you've gone through the process, you've joined up with a company, you're going to be bringing an outsourced team on board for them. How do you ensure that almost that smooth extension of the outsourcing team and the core team? Tell me a bit about that process of onboarding, getting the ducks in a row, introducing the team members, and kind of dividing up the roles and responsibilities now, because I can imagine it can be quite an upheaval for the core team to suddenly be working with 10 new strangers. Tell me a bit about that dynamic and how that works in practice.
Yeah, sure. So we have a core operational setup team, a customer success manager within our business, which is our group HR. And from an operational perspective, Dylan and myself work closely together on the onboarding process, set out a statement of work with the customer. Align that with the consultants. So the statement of work is backed up from both sides. That's how we operate. And then, we build a good relationship from an operational perspective. Dylan then builds that relation with the onboarding team from the client side. We get introduced up front into that process, or Dylan gets introduced up front. He communicates effectively with the onboarding team and then then Ben gets involved in regards to the recruitment. And we all as a team are involved with that client from the start. And then we ongoing support of that client and follow up from a consultant perspective where we get feedback from the client. So client feedback is really important on a monthly basis on how our consultants are performing. Dylan then also follows up from the consulting side to make sure that our consultants have any, if there's any concerns or problems with delivery, et cetera. So we've got a twofold way of working, and that's how we operate. To build that relationship internally, to build the trust, and to make sure that our consultants are sort of also aligned to the requirements of the client. Yeah, that's sort of our approach.
No, excellent, Sean. And Sean, how do you handle it if you've got a rock star on your outsourcing team and the client that this person is working for wants to poach them, wants to take them on board and become part of their core team or their head office team? How does that work in practice? Because, I mean, you've done all the hard work to get this person there, that part of your outsourcing team, and you may be hoping to use him on other projects. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it is a difficult one, but at the end of the day, funny enough, I'm just doing one right now. So we're actually finalizing contracts for him to go permanent. So, you know, at the end of the day, John, there's so many consultants out there that are quality. What we always say to our clients, the same question they ask us is, you know, how flexible are we in giving up any of our consultants? End of the day, those consultants are going to go regardless, whether it's to your client or to a competitor. And that's why I'm trying to save it now for our client to be looked after. End of the day, I've got to look after the individual, his requirements, and my client. So I believe in looking after the client. And if the client is happy, and I can't be pretentious around my consultants because there's loads of consultants out there. And it happens all the time. I'd rather have a good relationship with the client, look after them and the consultant's interests. If they both feel happy to, you know, that it's a match made in heaven, then, and they're going to be comfortable, I'll make sure our consultant gets looked at from a financial perspective and that I obviously get compensated. So, but end of the day, it's the client's interest and the consultant's interest. And that's the relationship I go into my clients. I will get other requirements from those clients. If I have that whole openness and collaborative approach to a client, and that's how I build my relationships from the start with those clients. So they feel free that they don't have to go and steal my consultants or approach them. They know from the start they can have that conversation with me. And I think that's really important from my relationship with a client and that perspective. So, yeah. I know some people are very guarded in that regard, but we operate totally differently.
No, that's excellent, Sean. I really like that approach, and I think that is where you can build long-term relationships. And I mean, I'm just thinking back to my days in some of the corporates that I've worked for. When someone's told you that they are going to resign or they're going to move to the opposing team or something like that, what you do next can really set up how this relationship is going to go from now on. I mean, you can throw your toys, you can get upset, you can jump up and down. It's not going to do anything. But if you understand that this person had to make a difficult decision and they have to make a decision for their future, for their career, for what they want to do in life, for their family, and if you can support them in any way and understand and have this like maturity that these things happen, and already have had that conversation, then you can maintain that relationship. And you never know. I mean, the wheel turns and maybe this person comes back and they leave your company for 5 years. They go and do a whole bunch of crazy cool stuff. And then they come back into your network and into your business and they come back bigger and better and you can work together again. And life has a funny way of doing that. Have you seen some of those examples?
Absolutely. I mean, we've placed people over the years where they've come back and they're now at CIO positions. And now they're wanting to deal with us because we looked after them and we put them on a good career path. And now they're in really senior positions. And when you have that sort of relationship with your consultants and your clients, things do come back, swings and roundabouts. And, you know, I've worked with clients before when I haven't done any business over 3 years, and then they come back to us. Or consultants that we've placed now want to deal with us. And they know they never forget, you know, they never forget good things that you do for them. So, you know, if we continue to have that approach, then it does come back. And I agree, totally agree. Does rear its head and good things pay off. Good things come to those that wait. And I know that's a Guinness saying, but it truly is true. But I do like a Guinness. But anyhow,
yeah.
But it is true. You know, good things do happen when you have this type of approach and you look after people. And that's the most important thing.
No, that's wonderful, Sean. Now, Sean, here at the Right Place podcast, we believe that the right place is at your intersection of your roles, relationships, and environments. And I just want to focus on that a little bit. I love when you told me that you don't say that you're a vendor, you say that you're a value protector. How does that translate into your day-to-day roles that you fulfill with these many ventures that you're on at the moment?
Yeah, look, for me, it's all about values, and we set our values in our business, across our businesses. And I'm very protective over that. And we've got to live to our values. If you live to your values, then people trust you and you build good relationships. And you can, and if you can project that and showcase that to your clients, your consultants, your partners, and building that trust is most important. The values are held in high regard. And we, as a team, and I install that through our team, and we all live to those same values. You know, we went through a strategic program last year around values, and everybody that we bring on within our organization have to align with our values. And if they don't, and those are key questions that we ask our team or the people that we want to bring on board. And if they're not aligned to those values, they don't get bought on. So that's really key for our growth, is we have the right people in our organization living to the values that we've set. And we've gone through an exercise, as I said, but everybody within our business has contributed to those values. And so everyone is aligned. Everyone knows what we're all about and how we go about our business and how we act on a day-to-day basis, both internally with each other and externally with our clients or partners and even with our consultants. So we all have this similar type of approach, and it's working for us as a business. Since we changed that, it's working for us as a business. We went through a big cultural change last year, and we're now a member of the Pacific Institute, and connecting the dots. And I know that's quite a good phrase we use in the LACA network. So we are connecting the dots, but funny enough, we've been through that program, and it's a change management program, and it's excellent. So we are a member, and it's out of the UK in a global network. We live to that. Yeah, it's added huge value to us as a business.
No, that's excellent. I think it's important for a business to be grounded on something. It needs to have gone through some ups and downs, needs to have chewed glass, eaten concrete, as my friend Darren Lee always says, and then to find these core values that you can hold on to, because that's going to determine everything else that you do in the business. It's going to determine who you collaborate with, who you partner with, who you seek out, how you approach marketing, how you approach tough times. So if your team is built on these values, then those are the types of organizations and the people and the relationships that you're going to attract. But if you're trying to please everybody and trying to be everything to everybody, you're going to attract the wrong people. And then you're going to also isolate, and you're not going to attract the right people. So you're going to end up doing business with bad people, bad clients. You're not going to grow in the right way. And I really think there's something for just standing still long enough and focusing on this core work, because it's going to pay off dividends for many years to come.
Yeah, I think what I didn't mention is impact. Now, impact on your team internally, impact on your customer, impact on that client, your partner, is really critical. We got nominated for the Impact Sourcing Award last year at Bepesa, because of the good stuff that we do. We didn't win it, but we're in the top three, which is, for a growing organization, we are very proud of it. But we want to make an impact on our staff. Our staff want to make an impact on each other, which I think is very important. And we want to make an impact on good clients. As you mentioned, it's really important to have those good clients. Now, I'd rather have a handful of good clients than 50 clients where I'm really making an impact, making a difference, and adding that value. So impact is a big word for us, and our values are built around impact. And that's what
That's excellent, Sean. Sean, you told me you've got a special relationship with your mentor, John Antunes. Tell me how that relationship has helped you grow personally and also help on the business side. And what do you respect most about John?
Yeah, John's been it actually came out of the blue, because I know John for many years back in our football days growing up, funny enough. And it just came on another WhatsApp group, a really good friend of mine in Durban, and put it on our group saying, oh, I've got this guy in London that needs some tech help and some guidance, and can anybody help? So I put my hand up, as I do, John, as you know, the helpful person that I am. And he put me in touch, and then we realized that we actually knew each other. That was about 3 years ago. And John's had a very great career in building businesses and scaling them up and selling them and big corporates. I got to work with John 3 years ago, helped him, his team. We've still got his ex-team. So we still got people working there and have done for the last 3 years in the UK. And John and I have built up a great relationship over the years. So I decided this year that I needed a mentor to really get myself in line to scale my businesses. And I looked at John and I thought, you know, from his expertise, everything that he's achieved and the like-minded person that we are and the friendship that we've built, which is most important, and the trust, as it goes back to what we were discussing earlier on. They're like-minded, and we both support Man United, which does help, but for our sins at the moment. So I approached John. I said, John, do you mind if I ask you to be my mentor? And he said, with pleasure. And I've gone on a journey with him this year. And he's really, you know, he's obviously in a CEO role now in a different organization. He's making major changes there, and they're doing extremely well. He's doing some great acquisitions. And I wanted him to just give me some guidance on how I grow, split my businesses, grow the focus. And he's really made me focus on the stuff that he's coaching me on how to reposition our business in the right manner, and, you know, how to structure our teams and how to focus a little bit more. So I'm going on that journey with him, and he's adding huge value to what we're trying to achieve long term. Yeah. So I hope that answers your question, John, but he's a fantastic guy and has the same values and very thorough. And I know you'll be honest with me, which is the most important thing. That's what you want from a mentor, to keep you in line and to guide you in the right direction. So he's doing a fantastic job there, and I'm trying to tap into as much knowledge and be like a sponge and get as much out of him as possible so I can add value to my business, to my people in my business, and to my clients at the same time.
I really love that answer, Sean, and I can hear the professional affection that you have for John and the impact that he's made. And I think partnering with these people and having these one or two key relationships over a couple of years is going to pay dividends. And just learning and just sharing and just listening as well. I mean, sometimes you don't have to talk, you just have to listen. Like, how would you do it? Or what would you advise to do in this situation? Or how should I approach this? And just to hear these different options that you won't necessarily see, you know, in a podcast or a book or another YouTube video or something, but actually having a one-on-one human conversation, I think is really important. And over time, you get to learn a lot from each other. And I'm sure John's also learning some interesting things from you as well, Sean. And now, Sean, you've been splitting your time between the UK and South Africa, mostly based in the UK side. What do you appreciate about both of the unique environments, the UK environment, the South African environment, especially in the outsource space?
The UK environment is extremely vibrant, and there's real go-getters here, and people want to do business with the right people. So the environment is hot. It's obviously opening up with the political changes in the UK. There's a lot of opportunities for outsourcing to South Africa, to Africa. And the likes of South Africa, you know, from an outsourcing perspective, I think we can capitalize on that opportunity. And South Africa is very new in the tech outsourcing space. It's always been a CX outsourcing and all these call centers and everything. They're very well renowned for that. But I think there's a great opportunity now for South Africa if we can get it right in the tech outsourcing space. I'm fortunate I've been a little bit ahead of the curve, so I'm trying to drive that. But that initiative is there. There's a lot of companies in South Africa doing good business without it even being on the radar, and I'm coming across it on a daily basis. So there's lots of good tech companies doing outsourcing, have done for a number of years without even people knowing about it. It's a very encouraging environment and a great opportunity for South Africa to create jobs. And there's a lot of interest at the moment, which we're getting in the operational side of outsourcing, just your ops or back office or virtual assistants and things like that. The more we can showcase that as a country in South Africa, the better for us as a country. We've got, as you know, a lot of immense talent in South Africa, a lot of educated people. The time zone's good. The language is good. And, you know, the people are fantastic, and people love South Africans. You know, when you speak with people here, they, you know, a lot of people like to outsource to particularly Cape Town, as you know it, because of the scenery and the wine farms and all that type of thing. People can go down there and visit their teams in a wonderful environment. You know, Cape Town's been nominated as the number one city in the world not so long ago, as we know. Yeah, so that's, you know, it's very encouraging. As long as we can get it right and get the right message out to market for outsourcing and the benefits of it to the world, South Africa's got a great opportunity to capitalize on that.
No, excellent, Sean. I 100% agree with you there. And Sean, talking about South Africa and the UK a bit more, you, like me, were a founding member of the LACA Network. I think you joined right from the get-go. Tell me about your experience so far. You've obviously seen it from both sides, on the South Africa side and the UK side as well. Tell me a little bit about your experience and maybe some of the cool people you've connected with and even done business with.
Yeah, it's been a hell of a journey, John, as you know, and it's been an amazing journey. I always said that when I was getting involved in it, it's going to be it's for long term rather than short term. I've run a campaign yesterday because I'm trying to help Gary Kirsten and the Catch Trust just to sell a few more extra tickets to Lords this week, as an example, you know, and that was via Nick. Getting access to these type of people and trying to help these type of people is amazing. I get goosebumps when I talk about it because I've never had access to these type of people. I've always wanted to try and reach out to the likes of yourself or didn't even know you existed. There's a lot of that happening now in the UK where a lot of people are coming out of the woodwork, basically. And we're making such a statement as the LACA Network at the moment. I know there's a lot of networks around the world that do the same similar type of thing, but I think this is different. This is truly an inspirational environment where it's more personal, that people want to help each other. And as you've seen it on the group, I mean, it's crazy. So the experience for me has been amazing. Got to, particularly in the UK, get to understand and meet a lot of awesome people, have access to these people now. I think there's 52 plus of us in the UK, and that's going to grow. As I said, I've got that campaign running at the moment, and not only for the cricket, but also to advertise the LACA Network. I've got a few interests since yesterday on the LACA Network saying, tell me more about it. So I think Nick and Rainier are going to be busy people over the next week or so. Yeah, so it's amazing the experience that I've had with South Africa, meeting some wonderful guys in this, as the founding members. I think that's really, I mean, that party or the launch that we had in Cape Town was off the chart, was amazing. And the walk in the morning up in the Lion's Neck was a great experience for me. I'm so scared of heights, I nearly died that day, but it was a great experience. But that's what it was all about. And it's about team spirit, bringing people together, like-minded people, having the same passion and also values. I think that value element of the LACA Network is truly special. And I think we're creating an environment where we've got the right people coming to the table or being in the organization. And I mean, it's just, you know, I promote it on a daily basis because I'm passionate about the people like yourself that are in it, that, you know, really feel the value and the passion that we have for each other. And it's also about the respect and building the relationship. We never knew each other, and it's only going to get stronger. And the more we understand each other's businesses, and the more we see where we can add value, the better for the community of the LACA Network and the people that are coming into it, or the entrepreneurs or the people that need help, the youngsters that have got ideas for, you know, or any type of business. I think there's different businesses within the LACA Network and people can add value across the value chain, across business. We're speaking to people in the US, Australia, people that are like-minded or need help or need our help. And we're doing business with each other, which is, you know, you've got a network now where you can tap into each other, not only for knowledge, for links to technology or advice on technology or requirements from a resourcing perspective, or, you know, need help with whatever, you know, building apps or whatever, you know, and just helping each other where we can. So I think it's, for me, it's been an amazing experience, John. I don't know about you, but it's been off the charts, and I live, breathe, and speak the LACA Network on a daily basis if I can, because I want this to work. because it works for everybody. It works for me. And I think, yeah, I'm just proud to be involved, proud to be associated, and proud to be a founding member and like yourself. And it's been amazing. The journey's been incredible.
No, it's wonderful to hear, Sean. And I'm fully on board with that. I think it's been an amazing building journey, building in public, like Rania likes to do. And just connecting with fellow South Africans and having this commonality of being South Africans, we can just start a conversation. And every day I'm meeting one or two new members here in Cape Town, and I know that people are connecting like crazy all over the world and via the platform and via the WhatsApp groups. And it's amazing to just see people just having a conversation. And they're not trying to sell to each other. They're just trying to figure out who you are, what you do, why you do it, and how can I help you? And maybe it's just a question of us just getting to know each other, and the business side of things is going to take care of itself. That's going to be a byproduct of just having good conversations with South Africans all around the world and adding value to them, or just supporting them, being an ear for them when things are going a bit rough, or just pointing them in the right direction. So, no, this is a wonderful testimony to that, and that even though we are far apart, we are like still connected by something. And that's just being a South African, just being a lack of person, having this commonality, having the same feeling, vibe, same language that we can share. That really is the glue that keeps us together. And like exactly like I said, the people want to help each other. And yeah, I'm definitely in it for the long run as well. Want to see this go to a couple of thousand members all around the world, having massive impact, like you keep mentioning. And I mean, again, I wouldn't have met you. I wouldn't have met people like Bevan or Sam or Nick Latouf. There's some really amazing people that you get access to suddenly. And it's not like these people are sitting high and mighty, and you can just contact them. And they're more than willing to help, more than willing to listen, give you some feedback on whatever you're dealing with. And so, yeah, that makes it really special. Now,
I think, Sean, that's important. It's really important. Sorry, John. You've hit 100%. That nail on the head there. And, you know, those people are not sitting on their pedestals. We've come across high profile people. I've spoken to Springboks. I've spoken to, people that are, you'd never have access to. And they're all normal people. They want to help. You know, they just say that we're South Africans. You know, we want to just do our bits. So encouraging. You don't have to worry about going into a conversation with somebody that thinks they're high and mighty. And that's not the case here. And it's just about how can we help you. So it's awesome.
Yeah, 100%, Sean. Sean, here at the Right Place Podcast, we always end off with one similar question for all of our guests. Sean, what has been in your right place in 2025 feel like?
Well, I hope to catch the lottery tomorrow night, which is £208 million. But that'll put me right in the right place. on a serious note, you know, making sure that my business is growing and I'm growing with my networks, doing business with the right people, seeing my staff grow, seeing them get opportunities that I am creating for them. And the setup that we have internally is for staff, giving them opportunities to be entrepreneurs, to help them grow. That would be, you know, to see them successful in what we're trying to achieve within our business over this year. Obviously, growing our client base and increasing our turnover does help. But at the end of the day, I want to do good business with good people, like-minded people, people that want to work with us. And that's who I want to work with. And you know what? That contributes to my growth of my business, to my staff, enables them, brings them more revenue, lets me look after them from a financial perspective and personal perspective. And that's what it's all about. I'm all about giving back to my team, my business, and making sure that we are successful in an entirety as a business, and everyone benefits from it, and to give people opportunities. So that would be me and my focus for this year, and adding value where I can, both from my team perspective, mentorship, and to our clients. Wherever we can add value, we add value. And like I said, I want to deal with like-minded people, benefit from my networks, add value to the LACA network, and add value to, because if I add value there, it's going to come back. It's just all about adding value over this year and seeing where and what journey we can go on with various people and organizations. So that's us in a nutshell, John. And I thank you very much for having us or having me on this and giving me the opportunity. Particularly, it's my first podcast, as I've said before. So.
Yeah.
No, thank you, John.
Thanks, Sean. No, thank you very much, Sean. That's a great answer. And I think at the heart of it all is doing business with the right people at the right time, the right place, and doing things the right way. And I think that's really important. And like you said, that value and that direction that you're aiming at is going to attract the right people. And that is going to help you find your right place and hopefully the £208 million one day as well. It's been a great conversation today. I really, really appreciate your time. If people want to connect with you, if people want to learn more about what you do, where's the best place to do that?
Look, they can just email me or get me on LinkedIn, message me, or contact me at sean@outsource-sa.co.za, and let's have a chat. I mean, I'm open to people to get me on my WhatsApp. Doesn't really matter, but they can get that off LinkedIn, and happy to connect directly with people. I'm best when I speak to people rather than do it over email or whatever. So just make contact. I will get you, you know, get your number, give you a call, have a chat and see how I can add value. So thanks, John. Sure. Awesome. Thanks very much. Cool. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Sean. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Sean Smith. Please connect with him on LinkedIn. Please check out Outsource SA as well. Please follow him on LinkedIn. Please support him in any way that you can. Please reach out to him. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Thank you for your support. Please remember to like, comment, and subscribe to The Right Place, where it is on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. And we will see you next time at The Right Place. Cheers, Sean.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.